much to see. But man, I still think them cats.
Well, hey, is that Nick on the other end?
Yes, it is.
All right, Nick. Hey, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. This is Nick Montoya from around Huber Heights area?
Dayton, Ohio.
Dayton, Ohio.
Yep.
And we got my brother over there in Virginia, if you can say hi.
Hey, how you doing? It's Bruce.
Hi, Bruce. How are you?
Oh, good. Good.
Good.
Yeah, he's calling from Virginia. Nick's calling from Dayton, and I'm actually down in Clearwater Beach, Florida. Wish you guys were here with me.
You don't have to.
Yeah, it must be nice.
That one
in. Well, we figured we'd do a podcast from across the country today. So.
I wanted to ruin your vacation and do a podcast during it.
And you did a great job at that. So we can go, you know, Nick has the Brothers Helping Brothers, and let's talk about that real quick. Nick, why don't you tell us your website and kind of what you guys do real quick.
Yeah, certainly. Our website is www.brothershelpingbrothers.org. We're a small firefighter-based 501c3 that helps small and rural fire departments across the nation with equipment. Through our grants, we donate the equipment directly to the department. So we like to work with manufacturers and distributors of fire and EMS equipment to maximize our dollar and best we can to departments that are struggling for tools and equipment.
Right. And you guys have helped guys throughout the country. I think it's pretty good. I mean, you guys, it's a bigger scale than what I thought when we had you on the show a few episodes ago, and it's amazing how you reach people throughout the country.
Yeah, I mean, we've done real well. We actually just did our first fire expo 2-3 weeks ago. We went up to New York, the New York Chiefs Association for the state of New York, and we did very well. We were able to raise over $1,000 for the cause by selling some of our products there at the show, made some really great contacts, and we're hopeful that, that'll become something, bigger. We'll get more people interested in the cause and able to help some people in the New York State area. So
what was that, function? Was that a Fire Chiefs Association?
Yeah. The New York State Fire Chiefs Association, they have a conference and fire expo, and, we were, they graciously allowed us to show up and have a booth out there. And like I said, we did really well, met a lot of great, fantastic people, and, were able to raise some money for the cause as well.
That's great. One thing that we like to talk about on here, Bruce and I, is how influence kind, building your influence throughout departments and connecting with people builds the influence. And you guys do a great job with that just by reaching out to some of those departments throughout the country and helping them with some of the equipment issues that they're needing. So, it's just another example of connecting with different departments. You guys do a great job with that.
Yeah, it's absolutely one of the nice things that we just actually recently did. We, one of the local firefighters here in the Dayton area, had a severe accident, and he, was flown to the hospital from care flight, and things weren't looking good. And his family asked if we'd be willing to help out with a fundraiser. So we ended up raffling off one of our recycled fire gear turnout bags, and we raised $540 on the raffle, and Brothers actually matched the money. So we ended up giving him, his family, $1,080. And, that was another great thing. they were so grateful for it, and he's actually doing a lot better now. He's actually walking and talking, and he still has some issues, but he's a lot better than he was. And the prognosis is a lot better than they thought it was going to be. And you know, going there and meeting the department and meeting his family and stuff like that. I mean, they're just so grateful for us. You know, now we've built that connection with that department, that family, and we have supporters for life, which is great.
Oh man, that's amazing. Gosh, I tell you, the big scale. And I said this in that last interview that we had, that I didn't realize you guys were on such a big scale as that. So I think you guys are touching a lot of people, man. Great. So
how do you find the businesses to work with, like the manufacturers and distributors? How do you find those, and how do you connect with them?
Well, a lot of stuff that we're doing is cold calling, just because you know we get in grant paperwork from all over the country, and then we determine, you know, what we can and cannot fund. I mean, obviously, like I said, we're a small nonprofit, so there's definitely not that many, you know, we can't do a lot of big grants. We can't get out fire trucks and things like that. But, you know, we're able to do some of the smaller scale stuff. And a perfect example was, you know, a department asked us for some extrication equipment. We ended up doing an assessment of what they had and what they could need, and they needed cribbing. So we worked with a company called Turtle Plastics. They're out of Lorain, Ohio. And we sent them a cold email just out of the blue saying, hey, this is what we do. This is what we're trying to do. And here's who it's going to benefit. You know, do you think you guys could be able to help us out? And they were great about it. They gave us buy one, get one free. So we got two 35-piece sets of plastic auto extrication stabilization equipment for the price of one. And so now we have that bond with that company. You know we have an in if we need something else from them, and we go from there. I mean, not a lot of there's some companies that do discounts, and there's some that don't. I mean, it's just a matter of trying to approach them. I try to I try to go to all the conferences and expos that I can and reach out to these companies, because, the bigger the company, usually they're looking for a tax break, and, we're able to provide a tax break because we are a 501c3. Mm-hmm. And, it's just, like you said, connecting with people. I mean, going to the trade shows and stuff like that, tremendously helps us and gets us exposure. So,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
Bruce, what does the you guys have anything on that federal end where they, other than, maybe some, some kind of grants or something that they apply for. But as far as, the MPs or the firefighters within the federal end of it, do you know much about those guys?
I'm not involved in those. I just know they're, they have a lot of fire departments on the different bases. So, I'm sure they're at the same stage as what the city is, when it comes to support or needing equipment. So,
right.
But yeah, that's a fantastic capability. If you're in an organization, a fire department, and you need certain types of equipment, I guess below a certain price threshold, is that when they need to reach out to you, Nick?
Well, I mean, we accept any of the grant requests. I mean, people put in, like I said, we get requests from time to time for fire trucks and things like that. I mean, we ask that people just put down, what their needs are, and we can try to fund what we can fund. Like I always tell departments when they reach out to us and say, write down everything that you need, and, we can go in and decipher what we can fund and what we can't fund. And then, I mean, it's better, getting something is better than getting nothing. So, being broad and having a bunch of things on there is better than being specific.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. That's really good. And do they just reach out to you, or you have sister agencies around the country that they can connect with?
Currently, it's just us. I know I talked to Brian last time I was on the show, and, our large vision or large goal is to have like chapters in different areas of the country so that we can maybe provide you know, the local chapter for each department, you know, for each area and stuff like that, so that it would make it a little bit easier and break up the work. But currently it's just us here located here in Ohio. So, I mean, we have grant paperwork that's on our website that they can fill out, and then they just mail it to us, and then we take that grant paperwork and we see what we can do with it. I mean, there's we try to keep it on file for a year, so if things change drastically in our situation where we're able to fund something like that, then we can look back and decide on it. You know, we try to keep everything on file so that we know and we have a good basis of what the needs are in the community.
Yeah, that's awesome. And if somebody wants to start up an office, they can just reach out to you to figure out how to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if there's a group of people in another state, you know, that is looking to do something like this, looking to make a difference in the fire service, you know, we welcome that kind of thing. And, you know, we would love to talk to somebody about bringing that to fruition. Absolutely.
Hey, Bruce and Nick, we got Brian Radley on the phone from St. Louis, Missouri Fire Department. Hey, Brian, are you with us?
Hey, Brian, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Hey, we're good, man. We're good. This is Brian, the Brian that you know. And Bruce, if you can say hi to Brian with a Y.
Hi, Bruce.
Hey, Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Busy day.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about your busy day, Brian.
Oh, it's, you know, everything starts early in the morning, you know. You work in the hood, you've got a lot of things going on. You know, car accidents, overdoses, you know, reports of smoke in the area. You know, we've had about 8 runs already today.
Oh, man.
And then we had,
you're a captain over there, aren't
you? Yeah.
The last day... a couple days ago that I talked to you, you guys had somebody that fell through the roof. Is he doing okay?
Yeah, as far as I know, he's doing good. He's going to have a long recovery. He had, I believe, pretty much third-degree burns on his hands and second to three-degree burns on his face.
Can you kind of go into
track for a
while. What exactly happened to him?
They had a fire that was, there was a reported fire on a roof of a building, and when they arrived on the scene, the first responding truck, they had workers that were on the roof, working on the roof, and they said they had fire on the roof. So they made a raise and proceeded to check out, see what was on the roof, and the fire had got into, like, you know, we call it like a cockloft, like a mini attic, and when they were going across the cut, it did us. The saw to come back and cut a hole in the roof. The roof gave way. It was a truss type roof. And the member said weakened, and he fell pretty much up to his waist. And sounds like a ceiling joist that stopped his fall. But there was a lot of ensuing fire underneath him. So he was stuck with, you know, flames coming up around his waist. And, you know, I guess he was trying to get himself out. You know, he got burned pretty bad.
Oh, man. And his crew got him out. I mean, I think we had spoke about this in the, I mean, some of the dangers definitely with the crew even going over there to pull him out is that if he's falling through, that means the roof is not very safe to begin with. So they risk their lives to try to get over there.
Right. And then you have to reassess and find out what his tactics were. And, you know, it's instead of an exterior fire, you had an interior fire, and you know, you have to change things around in midstream, you know. It's pretty crazy. You know how it is. It's in a heartbeat.
Yeah, it's crazy. But Brian, actually, I don't know if I introduced you to Nick Magato. He's from Dayton, Ohio, that area, and he has that brothershelpingbrothers.com. Or is it .com, Nick?
No, .org.
.org. Yes.
Yep.
Brothershelpingbrothers.org, and he kind of helps different fire departments throughout the country with their non-for-profit, with supplying equipment and different things like that. So I just kind of wanted to introduce you. I think I forgot to do that. So.
Yeah, we could always use equipment. Nice meeting you. Yeah, we had an issue with one of our rescue squads. Their MSA charger for their thermal imaging camera is not working, so they've got to keep going to different houses and put their tick on a different charger. Well, we can't afford to buy a new charger with our city, so they were looking on Amazon. They found one for $30. So, you know, does the fire department buy it, which they don't have money for, or the guys chip in a couple bucks each and buy it for their apparatus? That's the kind of things we deal with, you know, on a daily basis around here. Seems like more recent than not.
Wow. Eventually you guys will probably get into doing full-time departments, I think is what you said, Nick, isn't it?
Yeah, we would like to. Like I said, one of the previous organizations I was with, we actually helped Detroit Fire with purchasing tools and equipment. And since the city of Detroit wasn't too terribly enthusiastic about it, we ended up donating the actual tools and equipment to the guys. So I know that I've heard lots of things about St. Louis and things like that and how bad off you guys are down there. And, you know, we would love to try to help if we can. So, I mean, you know, if you guys want to reach out to us and, you know, like I said, it's always up to my board of directors. I don't make all the final decisions, but, you know, we could try to work something out. If you guys have a lot of needs, you know, we could try to work something out.
We use a lot of duct tape. We use a lot of duct tape around here.
Detroit was the same way.
Yeah, we're hoping things get better. Things are a little crazy now, but we've got a new mayoral administration, and you know, hopefully hopefully she'll be a little bit of help to our department, the police department, and funding, and you know, just got to figure out where the money is. They're talking about starting a new raising the sales tax, you know, another penny or whatever it is to generate more money. But seems like we have a lot of bond issues where we get, you know, get our back stamped for getting this money for public safety. Last one we had, they end up buying trash trucks with it. So, you know, the money we get goes into general funds, and they don't spend it on things themselves.
Right. Unfortunately, it goes to streets and stuff. But, you know, one of the things that I actually wanted to talk to you guys about, too, and Bruce included, because it actually is a, you know, I like to think outside the box with different people from different areas. And so the Houston firefighters right now, they're suing the city of Houston because of their contract delays. And I just kind of wanted to find out, I mean, I think everybody has those budget issues. Everybody has the contract, working conditions and wage issues. Can you guys weigh in on anything about that? I mean, my own personal opinion is that we need to start a little earlier connecting with future leaders that we see growing up to be the decision makers in our cities. And I think we wait too long as fire and police departments. I think we wait too long until we're actually in those positions to try to make our professional network, instead of doing it at an earlier age, because as you guys know, seniority means everything in our services. So what do you guys think about that, trying to use maybe some younger, energetic guys to build the influence of those around you at an earlier stage to create some value within the city? That's what I thought I'd hear.
Well, yeah, there's a pause. That's a loaded question there. I think we have a lot of younger guys that are helping out, you know, with our local and doing negotiations with the city on contracts and things like that. But we've got a very, I guess, I don't know what to call it, a fluid budget with the city, where they don't have money or they don't have money, or they conveniently hide money for other projects. And, you know, it's tough. You know, we get asked for the moon, and, you know, we have a lot of problems with it. St. Louis County Police Department just, you know, we've got an issue coming up where they got a tax levy with St. Louis County, far, the police department. And they're getting, guys are getting pretty hefty raise out of St. Louis County. We're trying to do the same thing in the city, but it's going to be on the backs of, you know, a lot of the poor taxpayers that don't have money, you know. And,
right.
Well, you know, where's that money coming from? We got our new city police officers that make, you know, probably the lower scale of their payroll. And, you know, they go out to St. Louis County and make, you know, $20,000, $30,000 more. You know, so we're losing a lot of quality people, you know, in St. Louis County and other places, you know, because
right.
we can't compete.
Well, and Nick.
But we do have young people that are negotiating, but just working hand-in-hand with the management and
right.
city leaders.
Yeah. And Nick, what are you seeing on the volunteer side?
I'd like to, you know, personally see people get more invested in the departments. You know what I mean? Like, unfortunately, it seems like volunteer and, you know, especially in our area, we have a lot of part-time people. And unfortunately, you know, it's when you work two or three, four different jobs, you know, your lack of or your caring goes kind of out the window, you know, because you're just trying to make ends meet and survive, you know what I mean? So it's difficult, you know, if there was more of a conscious effort on area, especially in our area, to, you know, hire more personnel.
Right.
You know, it'd be better. I mean, it's the hard part is I think that not only our, like, firefighters' pride, but management's pride of not acknowledging that there's something wrong, that something's going on. Everybody thinks that, you know, because, you know, we're having a shortage in this area of firefighters, and, you know, it's just that nobody wants to acknowledge that. Talk to any fire chief and stuff like that. They're like, oh, it's okay. Going to be okay. We're going to post a posting. We're going to get all these people hired. And then, I mean, I work for one of the premier places to work because of the busyness, you know, and we used to have, you know, 50 applications, you know, a stack of applications all the time. And we're scraping the bottom of the barrel for people now. I mean, we can barely
right.
hire anybody. Nobody wants to do this job. You know,
right.
they burned everybody out.
Yeah. I've noticed in the last few entrance exams for St. Louis City, the same thing. When I came on the job 26 years ago, there was 2,000-3,000 people took the test to come on the job, and now you're lucky to get, you know, maybe lucky to get 1,000 people apply for the job. You know, and it's tough.
No, it really is.
Well,
I think it's across the board. You know, it's in every city.
Well, I think what it really boils down to, I mean, this sounds bad and cliche, I guess, but I mean, there's been so much emphasis put on, you know, going to college and getting your college degree that there's not enough emphasis put on trade, and firefighting and EMS is definitely a trade. I mean, it's right up there with welding and plumbing and HVAC in my mind. You know, it's a blue collar nitty gritty job, you know, that requires work of your hands and stuff. And people don't want to do that anymore. They want to go to college and get degrees and, you know, liberal arts or
like
something that's
games.
Useless. And yeah, and there's not many people that want to pursue this. And I think that, you know, there should be and maybe the IAFF or, you know, the National Volunteer Fire Council can get a better idea of trying to put some traction into trying to get more people to be interested in the job. But it's difficult, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, even all across the Midwest, and I'm traveling to every city. Brian, I haven't even been out there to visit you lately, so apologize for that.
Yeah, I miss you.
But, every city that I visit, you know, most of the police departments especially, but the fire departments included, their numbers are down to try to recruit anybody. And I would imagine, Bruce, if you could elaborate a little bit on the federal side. I know you may not know much about the fire and MPs, but as far as recruitment goes, I mean, you've been in counter intel for a long time, and I would imagine that recruitment of entry-level guys coming out of the high schools are going down. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. The challenge is the budget. So for the government, you know, they work off of a 5-year budget. So if you have access to view that, you kind of know how the budget ebbs and flows and what the projections are. So I'm not sure if it's the same in local as it is federal, because with federal you kind of know, you know, they guesstimate the force projection is what it's called. So the guesstimate, you know, how many people are leaving and coming and how, you know, all that kind of stuff throughout the next 5 years. And they do that every year for, you know, so you can kind of see what's going to happen ahead of time. At least it's a planned thing. But, you know, for you guys locally, it seems like it's kind of not so planned out. It's almost based on personalities that are elected.
Oh, it is, definitely. And each city could probably agree to that, because that's why I think, you know, somehow using guys to connect in city council meetings and, or not really even city council meetings, at the Chamber of Commerce, at young professionals meetings. It takes a special person to even go to those to begin with. But I think adding some value to up-and-coming, you know, people. I always use one of our council members and our mayor in the city that I live in. Our mayor, and unfortunately she passed away, but right before her last
she
term.
Still helps you.
But she had three terms as mayor, and she didn't have a degree. She actually was a cleaning. She was a cleaning lady, a cleaning service, for many years, and made many connections. And she was one with the people, and that's how she got elected. She just cared. And then, you know, a city council member that is a member to this day was a part-time worker for a place that I was working at before I even got on the fire department. So you don't know who's the decision makers today. You don't know who they are 20 years ago. And if you could build relationships up with those people and connect with them years ago, and just build a relationship of trust, character, and value, decisions may be able to be influenced enough to, you know, be going towards the fire and police department versus the streets, roads, or sanitation. Who knows? And I don't have anything against those guys. I'm just trying to help our police and fire departments with their influence. And usually it doesn't happen overnight. Usually it's 20 years from now. So it's thinking long term versus short term. So. Can any of you guys elaborate on that?
Well, I think it would be great. I mean, if more people got involved community-wide, I mean, it's only going to work out better in your favor, especially for, you know, people that are in full-time positions and stuff like that. If you start, you know, getting to know the power players in the particular communities that you're living in, it's only going to, you know, increase the benefits to not only you, but the department that you work for.
Definitely. And, you know, Nick, I was, you know, fire prevention, I did that for a few years. And I was hoping that our old fire prevention chief, Bobby Ferris, was calling in here pretty soon. I was hoping he'd call in, because I'd really like to talk to him about it again. Because what we do as a fire department is kind of discount fire prevention. And luckily I was in fire prevention for a number of years, and then was able to, even after that, be able to be in the arson end of it for a while. And so I worked with police officers in the community and this, that, and the other. But the bottom line is, those guys are your representation. And it's not a position to put the sick, lame, and lazy. It's a position to put the connecting people. Because those are the guys in the community. What did you say?
Absolutely. I do fire prevention as well. I do business inspections to the departments. And, yeah, I mean, I think it's a great opportunity. I think people don't, you know, people, you know, slough that off as a duty that they don't want to do. But it's really great, because you can make those connections with the business owners. And not only that, it's a great training opportunity. I like to take the guys with me when I do the inspections, you know, the on-duty crew, because you know, you're getting a chance to see some of the buildings that we may or may not go to on a regular basis. You know, like one department I work for, we have, you know, two very large businesses. One of them is, you know, owned by the guy who, well, used to be owned by the guy who owned IMES. And it, I mean, it's a massive complex, and it's got, a, I mean, it's got all sorts of ins and outs and stuff like that. It has its own water system and all sorts of stuff. And it's a great training opportunity to, when you have that chance to do those business inspections, because not only do you get to know the people that run the maintenance department and the people that you're going to be talking to training up down there, but you get to see firsthand how the building is laid out, you know, throughout all the nooks and crevices of the whole building. So.
Right. Well, and I think we need to realize that there's a lot of influence through the years of city managers and owners of businesses that when that relationship that you build with those, even the city inspection, even business inspections, and the not only the prevention classes, but the inspections that you provide, if you can have a win-win instead of just somebody thumping their badge, if you can have a win-win in the long term, it just adds to the value of the department. And the city, some of those city leaders they have influence themselves with city councilmen that make those decisions. So,
well, and not only that, I mean, those are your potential voters for your, you know, for your levies and everything like that.
That's
so,
exactly.
You know, if you get a business side and they love to do business, you know, as a fire department and as a fire prevention person, they're going to be your biggest advocate during election time.
Right. You know, and one thing that I see, and I don't know if this happens on the federal level, Bruce, but I know, you know, I was just out in Kansas City. I've been up in Milwaukee and in Columbus, Ohio, the last few weeks. One thing that I see consistently is burnout. And I see it in the guy's face. I see it in the firefighters and the police officers because they're running on the same people. They're saving the same lives, you know, and over time, it just wears on you. And I know, Brian, I know we've talked about this, that it just wears on you. And when you go out, it's very difficult not to talk to somebody in the community and be negative, because what you're doing is you're actually not saving a life. You're bringing somebody back from the dead. And
right.
You do that so many.
There's a lot of blatant abuse of the system too. That, you know, I think that's where you get a lot of the burnout, just the constant abuse of the system. You know, when you go to the same person 5-10 times, so he's not going to be professional. But, you know, okay, we're babysitting here for 15 minutes until, you know, they go to the hospital and sleep it off.
Right.
Or, you know, those are the kind of things that burn you out.
And that's kind of the reason, you know, one of the main reasons that I retired, because I felt myself getting that way, because all I was doing is running on people that it just seemed like repetitive. And it was like, come on, guys, we're just abusing the system. Once you, when you run on the guy that actually needed it, or the grandpa or grandma or husband or whatever that actually had the heart attack and you can't save, you're just like, oh my gosh, it was just brutal, you know. And
right, and then you still have to stay professional because the passersby or the family members, or
exactly,
you know, little kids
news
are still watching.
Media.
You know, the people are still have their phones out, taking pictures of you and taking videos.
Right.
You know, so you know, so it's tough.
It's tough to try to be that guy in between, especially in you know, like you had a couple structure fires the other day, right in a row, and you know, when you get done with that structure fire, being out on the street.
I was hoping on a third.
Were you?
I'm kidding. Yeah. Why wouldn't
crazy.
I? I'm a fireman. I take fires all day instead of putting band-aids on people.
That area that you're in, you guys average probably 2 or 3 fires a day. It's amazing.
No, I don't know that. Maybe a cycle. maybe a cycle, we'll get two or three. That's pretty far in between. We get 2 to 3 fires back to back like that anymore. And
you're
things change. Smoke detectors. You know, we do smoke detector blitz, and you know, we do school talks, and you know, things have changed.
Everybody
has a smoke detector nowadays.
The thing that I when I go out of St. Louis, out of all the cities that I've been into here lately, St. Louis is the only city that doesn't recognize a red light. So, just saying. It's like
are you the fire department or the average Joe?
No. The citizens, they don't recognize
a red light.
It's like a yellow light to them. I don't know what it is
The yellow light's a little shady, you know. It's
like a recommendation to stop. I don't know what it is. I just look at the Houston thing with the contract, and I look at a lot of contracts around the country, and the job that we do in and out, I think, is deceiving because, you know, in the last year, I retired about a year ago, and in the last year, I've seen what it kind of looks like from the outside, and what it looks like from the outside is that we don't run very much. And the truth is that we're running all the time and it's just not seen. And I think there's a big gap between what reality actually is and what people think we do. And so I really believe that somehow or another, we have to build some relationships and some value with guys that we think are going to be in those decision-making positions down the road. So,
yeah, my neighbors around the firehouse here all know how much we run.
The neighbors around the firehouse are actually an asset to us because they hear that siren constantly.
My apparatus had 4,060 something runs last year, just my apparatus alone.
Yeah, that's
pretty
crazy.
Busy.
I would say they're busy. You're in a busy area, man. Matter of fact, I probably wouldn't visit you after dark. So,
it's all right. Just, you know, that's dodgeable.
I thought I got run over 3 times just going to you and about 4 blocks away.
That's great. Hey, Brian, I got to fly. They've got me cooking dinner tonight.
Oh, you better run. Hey, anybody, any heroes, local heroes in your department or station that you want to shout out real quick?
One fireman on the rescue squad, Brad Thompson. He helped pull the captain out of the roof the other day, and that was pretty good. It was touch and go there for a second, and we stayed with him and got him out. And, you know, kind of helped the situation quite a bit. I think he's a good job. Did what he's paid for. You know, went above and beyond. Good job.
Was he that camp captain's firefighter, or was he
it was a hook and ladder company was on the roof, and they had a few members from the rescue squad that were up there helping them with the roof, doing roof work when it happened. So.
Great.
That was
Brad.
Good.
Great. Hey, man, cook some dinner, and hopefully I'll visit you here pretty soon. So.
All right, sounds great. Nice talking to everybody.
Hey, thanks, Brian.
All right, take care.
All right, so, hey, you know, Bruce, we're talking about budgets, and Nick, we're talking about budgets. I think, Nick, you're adding to a lot of the connecting around the country. Bruce, how could somebody – you know, when someone, you know, within the federal department or a veteran that's getting out, as far as connecting with community, how's that going to help them? I mean, you do a resume thing for the guys that are getting out of the military and trying to go into a federal job. How does connecting affect them?
Well, I think it'd be good for them if they're looking at going into the fire department. They could probably go to the fire departments because one of the things that I didn't realize until I talked to you was that, you know, it's a community building. So anyone's able to go into that building and talk to people. But, And I didn't realize that. I thought it was kind of like a company where, you know, you can't get in, right, unless you know somebody.
Oh.
And evidently it's just the opposite. It's actually, you know, like a safe place to go if something happens in your community, you can go there. And the folks are very, very friendly. It's just a challenge when you don't know anyone in those departments, because from the outside, like you were saying, it looks like a very tight-knit group of people, and then you're kind of the outsider interrupting when you walk in. So I'm not sure how the best way would be for a military guy who wants to become a full-time firefighter to connect, although they would need to, right? It's a good thing to do that. Maybe they could do some apprenticeship or OJT or just get to know folks, you know,
right,
as they're working through the process. But, you know, I don't know what the best way is. What would you think the best way would be for somebody like that? Like you, for instance, when you departed the military, you know, how do you break into to get to know the folks on the fire department?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Nick, I know that some of the area fire departments around, I mean, there's so many firefighters around Dayton area that I would imagine, you know, connecting through, I mean, everybody in Dayton has to be a medic. So they have to go through EMT
mm-hmm.
school, they have to go through medic school. Fire departments have softball, you know, especially in the north, they have softball teams and they have hockey teams and they have different teams around the country that represent them. What would you think, man? I mean, what would you think as far as connecting to try to get a job outside the military?
Well, I mean, as far as, you know, trying to get a job within the fire department, I think just, I mean, going to a station and trying to talk to the guys, I mean, it's a real, you know, as you know, a tight-knit community. I mean, especially here in Dayton, I mean, you know, you always know, you run into somebody and they know somebody that you know. I mean, it's real small. It's a big community, but it's small in the way that everybody, you know, almost knows everybody. I mean, if a good way of connecting, you know, would be taking classes in, you know, for firefighting and EMS or going to certain trainings and stuff like that. You know, exterior trainings, I mean, that's the best way to connect with other people. That's how I connect with a lot of people. You know, like instructor wise, and I mean, I take a conference down in Florida each year, and you know, some of the guys I meet down there, I mean, are some of the movers and shakers of the fire service, and
right.
It's absolutely amazing to meet them, and then you know how that can impact and meeting other people and stuff like that. So, just
right.
trying to get out there and going to different exterior trainings, even if you're not a firefighter, if you're trying to get into it. You know, there's always classes going on all over the nation, you know.
You know, I've actually thought, you know, something that wasn't available, guys, that is now, is I'm hooked up, as many of you know, I'm hooked up to Twitter, and I retweet a lot of things. And I don't do that because I want to annoy anybody. I actually retweet things because people are connecting with community. But also those departments that I'm connecting with, they actually post on there when they're hiring. And I think anymore for a guy getting out of the military or, say, a veteran or somebody looking for a position, you can find out when guys are – when these different departments are hiring. And you can, you know, try to apply yourself ahead of time in order to get those full-time jobs.
Well, you know, the thing is, the jobs that are out there, you know, there's so many, right? I mean, there's so many being advertised.
Right.
And so what happens for somebody who's transitioning out of the military, you know, this is the first time, really, most of them are job searching, right? So you're going to the job boards. You're hitting all the job boards. And you see millions of offerings. But you know, in my mind, it's really too late when you are just searching for the job announcement once it's out. You know, if you know, to be more proactive and kind of have an advantage if you knew that that was, or you thought that that may be a career that you wanted to get into, trying to connect the network and with the people in the area that you want to work to, for them to tell you and give you some sort of indication of when the jobs were going to be announced would prepare you a little better. Plus, you'd have somebody on the inside who would be looking for your application.
You know, that does it wouldn't hurt, but I really believe that it's all about numbers with most of the departments. And the most important thing is when you fill out an application, that you fill it out complete, because that's one of their filtering processes, unfortunately. I don't agree with it, but it is one of their filtering processes. If you miss a blank, if you don't fill it out exactly correct, they just pitch it. And it doesn't matter on your background or career. So I don't agree with that, but that's how a lot of places are. And but you definitely have to be in shape mentally and physically. So in order to get on these, but you have to be willing to travel. If you're willing to travel, you could go to Colorado Springs just hired. You know, you could go to Chicago Police or Fire. You can go anywhere. You know, so if you're willing to travel. So,
yeah.
But you know what, guys, I'm gonna get off the podcast right now, and I really appreciate you guys coming on here. Brian Radley, that just hung up from us, I really appreciate him coming on. He's the captain over at St. Louis Fire. Nick Magato from the Dayton area has Brothers, helpingbrothers.org. Nick, I really appreciate your time, man. You got to visit us every time we have a podcast because I love talking to you.
Sounds great to me. Love to be on.
Yeah, every time. So, and Bruce, I'm glad you visited us again because, like I said, all you got to do is say K, and I'll be there. Hey, twin brothers together, we could get in some good arguments on the line. So here, but.
The guy in my entire life who takes more vacations than anybody I know. So at least every vacation you're willing to hold a podcast. That's what I like.
Yeah, I'm willing to do that for you, okay? I'm willing to do that for you.
Yeah, and send me all the cool pictures, but that's besides the point.
You deserve everything you get. Hey, if anybody, one thing I didn't do is I should have, but if anybody wants to call in anytime during any of our podcasts, they can, and it's 213-943-3674, and we're going to try to start having these about the same time, 4:00 every Friday, because I think it's the best time for both of us. And if just kind of keep track with us on Twitter or keep track with us, you know, online somewhere, but usually 4:00 is going to be probably the best time each week. I think we can get together. Don't you agree, Bruce?
Yeah. Yeah. We'd really like for you to call, since Brian gave you the number at the end of this one. So we'd like for you to call, just not on this one.
Yeah, we'd like for you to call the beginning of our podcast the end.
Just not in this podcast.
Yeah. So, all right. Hey, guys. Hey, I appreciate it. And I need to get back to my vacation before the wife gets upset.
All right. Well, have a good vacation.
We'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Bye.
All right. See you. Bye. Thanks, Ryan.
All right.